What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Shinigami Love Apples podcast, episode 7. I am Peen Peen, your Shinigami host, and I'm here with Shinigami Yu Yu. And yeah, we're here with what's going to be probably a little spicy of an episode.
Yeah.
Because we got some shit to say about a lot of things.
We sure do.
So we're going to get right into it because we have so much ground to cover. First of all, as always, kind of, how was your week, Yu? I mean, anything to report? Was it exciting? Was it horrible? Did you sleep?
No. Oh. None of the above. It was, I overworked myself, and then my undiagnosed insomnia decided that I was not worthy of sleep, and now I'm very tired.
Oh, man. Yeah, you were mentioning this morning, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I have the opposite problem. I get into sleep and then I never want to leave it. Yeah. My body's just like, no, this is so good. Don't get up. No, yeah. Don't do it. And it's weird because
my body hates sleep for some reason. I don't know.
Can you nap though? Are you a good napper?
I'm a big napper, yeah. But I purposely don't nap so that I can sleep at night.
Oh, yeah. See, I just can't. If I try to nap, my body just keeps saying no, unless it's really close to evening. And then it's like, well,
yeah,
maybe I'll let you. And then I never want to get up because I just want to stay in bed.
If it was viable, I would just take like a couple, like 4 or 5 naps per day and not actually sleep all night. Just nap.
My week, nothing crazy going on. I will say, and I have to be careful. What you and I were talking before the podcast, and one of the challenges is sometimes we get topics we really, really want to talk about, but they also kind of self-dox us.
Yeah.
Because we have certain backgrounds and certain experience, and we've lived in certain places. And talking about these issues kind of reveals where we are / have been / are going. But I will say this week, I am up for a potential job change / promotion, and I'm super stoked about it.
Wow.
Because hopefully it will just further enable my midlife crisis obsession with anime and figurines and Genshin. So,
yeah. You
know, I'm not even nervous about it. I'm super stoked. All right, so backpedaling this week, we did promise last week that we would do an anime review, and then we didn't because we spent...
We had too much to talk about.
We had so much to talk about. It was also funny because like last week was the whole like Demon Slayer to the Hashira training special, and then today we're going to be talking about a bunch of anime stuff too, which, imagine that, an anime fucking podcast talks about anime. You know, I hope you were expecting something... nothing less, you know. So we're going to cover that review later in this episode. So on to the things we actually give a shit about. Anime this week, I want to start really quick. We'll get to your thing in a second, but Crunchyroll Anime Awards. I have opinions. So, I mean, here's the thing about award shows. Award shows for me are a lot like the Oscars, right?
Yeah.
Where there's a certain level of politics and I surprised I have the fan on.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I hearing? hold on, I'm going to just kind of...
Yeah. Well, the thing that like kind of got me that's annoying about the anime awards, like Crunchyroll's anime awards compared to like the Oscars or something is that unfortunately, these are fan voted.
Yeah.
And so...
And popularity driven.
Yeah. So like if most of the population of anime watchers is watching one show, well, fucking guess what?
Yeah.
They won everything.
Well, and the thing this week, so let's talk about the winners and then I'll give some opinions. First things first, the Grand Award winner, Anime of the Year, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. All right. I'm just going to... Normally I issue spoiler warnings and that kind of thing. I'm going to give a trigger warning. If you're a Jujutsu Kaisen fan, close your fucking ears for the next 15 minutes because I'm going to shit all over your favorite series. And I want to point something out really quick. Just for the accountability side, I gave Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 an 8.
Yeah.
And I gave Season 1 a 9.5. So before everybody gets all in a rage that I'm shitting on it unnecessarily, I'm a fan. I'm wearing a fucking Nanami shirt right now. Okay. I have, in fact, I have several pieces of merch.
Yeah.
From
you also got complimented on your shirt this morning.
Yes. Which was so cool. I was like, yay, weeb. but I love the series. It does not deserve Anime of the Year. It does not. There's so many things I'm looking for from an anime of the year. I want something that stirs me, that makes me think thoughts I hadn't thought about before. I want something that challenges me. I don't know. I'm looking for an emotional experience in whatever it is I'm watching, and not just some, there was really good action or really good sex scenes or really good fan service or really good cutesy moments. No, I want a whole package deal. And Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 does not deliver that for me. Now I know you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you spoiler free because it is well worth the watch, but I'm going to put it really simply.
I mean, I already know all of what happens to certain characters.
Well, and that's the other thing too, by the way, is because this anime was so popular, because it's so popular, tons of it was already spoiled for people before anyone was able to get into it.
Yeah.
So whatever value you thought you were going to get out of this, I'm telling you right now, you're not, because it's spoiled for you.
The shock factor is not going to shock me because I already know.
Well, and that's the thing.
I keep making Shibuya crossing jokes. Yeah. Even though I've never seen it.
Well, here's the thing. Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 relies exclusively on the absolute breakneck fight pacing. In my mind, Jujutsu Kaisen is Dragon Ball Z with all of the monologue removed and all of the action scenes turned up to 10 with 8 times the edits.
Yeah.
Just very fast editing, chaotic, just hellish, and then all of the emotional impact is delivered through, spoiler warning, give you a couple seconds to plug your ears, killing off all the main characters. Now, look, fine, you have the balls to kill off main characters. You killed off my favorite characters, Nobara and Nanamine.
Yeah.
Fine, okay, I'll give you that. I definitely felt some pain watching both of them eat shit.
Yeah.
But at no point did that loss feel justified to me. And here we are at the end of season 2, and everyone's like, oh, it's the build up for season 3. That's why it's anime of the year. No, it's not. If it's going to be anime of the fucking year, it should stand alone. And I should be able to point to any friend I have who says, hey, can you give me a good anime to recommend? And I should be able to say, well, Jujutsu Kaisen season 2, obviously standalone. Great.
Yeah.
I can't recommend Demon Slayer to someone because they need to watch the whole damn thing.
Right.
I can't insert you into Swordsmith Village, no matter how much I love it, because it doesn't stand alone.
Right.
Neither does Jujutsu Kaisen. So winning anime of the year, I have opinions. Now, best original anime, Buddy Daddies, didn't watch it, heard it was good, but also heard it was a knockoff of Spy Family, so weigh that up as you will.
Yeah.
Best character design, Jujutsu Kaisen. The fuck? what are our standards for character design? That they're sexy? That they have a developmental arc? Because there isn't any.
Yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen's characters are one-dimensional fighting objects. They're basically, if I had to describe a Jujutsu Kaisen character in a nutshell, they are NPCs.
Yeah.
They're great NPCs, but they're not, at no point do I feel so incredibly invested in them that I feel their losses are tragic or that I walked away traumatized from it.
Mm.
In fact, I would even say Jujutsu Kaisen just exhausted me. Because after a while, like when you get shock factor thrown, it's like horror movies. When you get enough violence thrown at you, it either becomes comical or becomes exhausting. And either way, you're just like, all right, enough. Yeah, all right, we found 300 ways to bust open someone's head like a fucking watermelon.
Yeah.
But eventually, you just want to stop seeing that, you know? Best animation, Demon Slayer. Absolutely. I looked at the other animes that were nominated for that. Demon Slayer earned that.
Yeah.
Best new series, Chainsaw Man. Sure. I liked it. It was okay. It is definitely different. And I kind of was hoping it won original. I don't think it did, though. Let me look down. Best original.
No.
It didn't, right? No. Best original went to
Buddy Daddies.
Right. Buddy Daddies. Okay. Oh, that's right. We just mentioned that one. So, yeah. Whatever. Okay. But it was still good. Best cinematography, Jujutsu Kaisen. No. Chainsaw Man's cinematography from a pure camera in motion perspective is 10,000 times better. And I'm not even going to argue with someone on that. I work in the production industry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking argue with anyone. I'm glad you're a fan and I'm glad you're into anime and I'm glad there are people who think, wow, it's so exciting. Yay. Cinematography is about how you put things in your frame.
Yeah.
At no point did I look at Jujutsu Kaisen and go, this is revolutionary cinematography. But I can watch literally just the opening of Chainsaw Man and there's some very, very good camera movement.
Yeah.
Even Demon Slayer's Swordsmith Village had some fucking opener of To the Hashira training
that was
had cinematography that was just like, oh my God. So I disagree with that decision. Best art direction, Demon Slayer. As much as I don't think Demon Slayer deserved it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It's fine. And honestly, for art direction, I would have been okay with Jujutsu Kaisen winning.
Mm-hmm.
Best slice of life, Bocchi. Absolutely hands down. Best continuing series, One Piece. What? Okay.
Yeah, the never ending.
Season 397. Here we go. Okay. And by the way, if you want to send us any hate mail over our opinions of One Piece, feel free to send it to shinigamilovapples.podcast @gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond with a giant middle finger just for you. Best opening and ending sequence, Jujutsu Kaisen. No.
Yeah.
People voted for these because series. Dude, there's nothing standout about their openings or endings.
Yeah.
Fucking Attack on Titan had better openings and endings. Demon Slayer had better openings and endings, mm-hmm. especially from a musical perspective, so bite me.
Yeah. Speaking well, I think, music, wasn't Bocchi on the opening?
Yeah.
Which is all in a music anime?
Yeah.
Like, of course, yeah.
Tomo-chan's ending.
Tomo-chan's ending is incredible.
An adorable musical between the main characters.
And they swapped it up when we stopped focusing on her and focused on the...
Yeah.
The guy, I don't remember his name.
But. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They had him sing. Yeah. And then they had them do the couple thing at the end, which is fucking adorable.
Yeah.
Just, come on. Like, raise your standards. Jujutsu Kaisen winning just because it was popular. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Attack on Titan, best score. I agree. Hiroyuki, oh my God, I always forget his last name. Hiroyuki Sawano. Excellent composer. One of my favorite composers of all time. Completely deserved. Excellent. Suzume for best film. Excellent. Definitely agree. It was chart topping everywhere. It was Japan's best selling film of the fucking year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It deserves it. Best song, Oshinoko, fine, Idol by Yasobi.
Yeah, look, it's a good song.
It's a good song. I get that a lot of this is because of the meme. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Bling Bong Bong Born. We'll probably end up on this year's at some point because, okay,
yeah,
it's a bit of a meme. But, okay, fine. Best director, Jujutsu Kaisen. I can't argue with it. It's a good series. And if you're going off of success, which is a director's metric, fine.
Yeah.
Best main character, Monkey D. Luffy. Just fuck off. After 39 seasons, a character can only have so much development, and then they become a two-dimensional piece of paper. Luffy is a two-dimensional piece of paper at this point. He has value exclusively to the folks who've been following his development from day one. And without that understanding, he as a character carries no weight for me. If I were to start One Piece tomorrow from day one, the only way he could deserve best character for me is if in season one, he was the best character. Huh. Like Gojo at least, right? Fine. I guess he's supporting though. Fine. Itadori Yuji from Jujutsu Kaisen, I would have even excused that because at least whether I start in season one or season two, he immediately delivers as a character with impact. Fine. Best supporting character, Gojo. Can't argue. Great choice. Must protect at all costs character, Anya. Abso-fucking-lutely. Anything else would have been nonsense.
Yeah.
Best action. Fine. I have very little negative to say about that because I just said Jujutsu Kaisen is a nonstop fever dream of combat sequences, so fine.
Yeah.
Best drama, Attack on Titan. Okay. Out of the list, yeah. Best fantasy, Demon Slayer. Okay. Can't argue with that. Best romance, Horimiya. Okay, look, I've heard very good things about it. That said, I'm biased towards Tomo-chan as a girl, just because it is a different vibe than most romances. I'm also very hyper aware, and if you're listening to this and you fit into this group, I'm about to offend the fuck out of you, but I don't care because that's how this podcast rolls. The thing about romance anime is they appeal strongly to incel white boys who've never had a romantic experience in their life. And unfortunately, that whole, as much as the fandom tries to break away from white virgin men watching hot females in 2D, unfortunately, the stereotype continues because unfortunately people continue to support it by providing, like, what's the word, not evidence, providing instances of that.
Yeah.
But Horimiya is an excellent romantic sort of, I don't know, just feel good anime. Fine. But Tomo-chan is exotic and different, and it shakes up the genre because it takes a tomboy and tries to deal with how do you deal with being an effeminate tomboy without turning you into a princessy character who's helpless.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderfully done. I can't say the number of times we were rooting for Tomo while watching the series.
Yeah.
That is excellent character development, and it just upsets me that it didn't get it. But it's, look, Horimiya was good. Best voice actors, Jujutsu Kaisen. Okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
And honestly, for best VAs, there's not much I can say about that.
The VA ones are kind of hard because like everybody does a good job and it's just who do you like the most?
Yeah. So anyway, that's basically everything I have to say about the Anime Awards. And here's the thing. Like we were saying at the beginning, it's a popularity contest. The biggest fandoms, the longest running fandoms are always going to carry so much weight. And you accept as an awards show, you accept the risk of introducing titles that have been running for years because someone's going to go, well, hey, that's my favorite. I'm going to vote for it just because it's my favorite.
Yeah.
And distancing yourself from it is difficult. You know, it's like one of our viewers on Twitch had mentioned that, you know, it would have been nice to have some judging panels or, you know, some fan favorite categories, because then at least you can bring in the popularity contest bit. And if people just want to vote, well, like, you know, just ham it up for their favorite series, that's fine. But it would have been nice to have, I don't know, some reasoning or explanation behind why some of these deserved their titles. Cause it's just,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, now you for anime want to talk about something that is now on our watch list.
Oh yes. Yeah. I almost don't even know how to open this because you just called me an incel. So,
well, my incelic friend, please do tell more about how you love
Hokkaido gals.
Yes.
Yeah. I, because I've been so busy, I've had to kind of take a break from watching anime, but then I made sure to catch up and I was like, I need to catch up on at least one. And Hokkaido gals was just the one that I chose. But I realized in watching it that the thing that I really love, like, I love romance, especially like rom-com stuff, because it's kind of goofy, but I also like the more serious stuff. But I fell in love with My Dress Up Darling because it felt different enough where the main character in romance, like you're saying, is usually sort of that incel-y, like,
a simp. For lack of better words, you know,
Where Gojo was not. Gojo was like, I am very business-oriented. I need to make this thing happen. I'm very, like, she wants this cosplay, I will make it at all costs. She's my friend, I will do everything for her.
Yeah.
And not in like a simpy way, but in like a professional, wholesome, I'm just here to help. She's a genuine friend. We both are real human people with normal emotions and normal and reactions. Hokkaido Gals was going to start out, in my opinion, as kind of more your standard.
Yeah.
But I realized it's almost a one-to-one. Like, the only difference between the two is that My Dress Up Darling is about cosplay and Hokkaido Gals is about Hokkaido. Okay.
Now, is it a harem?
Yeah, kind of.
I guess technically? Yeah, okay.
Kind of. There are girls that are introduced that I think are part of the harem, but as of right now, it's not him showing interest in any of them outside of
the main girl,
okay. Fuyuki, who, again, the one-to-one. She's the popular girl at school that everyone loves, and she's the attractive blonde, like, and she sees the main protagonist boy who's just kind of like goofy little, I'm here in the corner, no one talks to me, I don't have any friends. But then she sees him as a genuine person, hangs out with him because she wants to help him, and then he isn't weird, he's just like, oh cool, we're friends. I want to go out of my way to help you and do these things for you and just be genuine and kind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, I need more of these.
Well, and you know, for me, I totally forgot to mention My Dress Up Darling is an excellent example of good romance plot.
Because like, it starts out really over the top, like, Marin has boobs and we're going to touch each other's bodies and get bloody noses and stuff. But it immediately swaps back into, oh, by the way, we're normal people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Gojo's kind of, at the beginning, he's a little virgin boy that's only ever looked at dolls. Like, he doesn't know what to do with it, but he doesn't let that, he's not fucking dumbass piece of shit, rent a girlfriend, fucking,
oh Jesus,
fuck boy that just like, but she's the hot one, so I need to go fucking rub one out.
Yeah, ass tits and thighs.
That's a great example of the worst protagonist that you could possibly have. Like, if you put him, I don't even fucking know his name, dumbass orange shirt fucking cuck. And Gojo, if you put them together, like, one person is the far end of like horrible. Well, I shouldn't say the far end of horrible. There are much worse people than him.
Yeah.
Minus like sexual assault and sleeping with your sister type. That's a whole other discussion. But for normal relationships, orange shirt boy, horrible. Gojo,
great.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's really challenging for the like romance anime genre is how to not devolve into the, you know, ass tits thighs mentality. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to be a romance, you're kind of going one of two ways. You're either going shoujo and you're appealing, you know, or Bishonen, and you're going towards the girl side of things where you're trying to make something sappy and emotional. And I'm not saying that's bad, but it's definitely targeting a certain audience.
Yeah.
But then you have the shonen side, which is big ass tits flopping around.
Yeah.
Tons of bloody noses and body touching in weird ways. You know, I understand how hard it is for a studio to walk the line because honestly, you're going to get hit by traffic on both sides if you're in the middle of that road.
But that's what I explained too when I first started watching Hokkaido Gals, is all the weird incel simpy boys were like, how come it's not as graphic as the manga? Why did they dumb it down? But
it makes it
so much cuter. Like, it's such a better show, not being good.
And we said the exact same thing about Dress Up Darling, where we were looking at the manga and there were certain portions that were, you know, you had mentioned there was someone going feral over, you know, some scene that was excluded, like a panty shot scene
that
or
was,
whatever.
That was for Hokkaido Gals.
Oh, okay.
Although the manga for My Dress Up Darling does have, it is wrapped, so there is actual nudity in it.
Yeah.
Which they obviously didn't include in the show.
I'm indifferent, whatever. Okay, yeah. I've had plenty of series where the nudity was tasteful enough, and I was like, okay, whatever. I'm not a prude. I also don't care. It's just the body.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
who cares?
I'm not sitting and getting off to it in front of my TV. You know, it's just not. But yeah, so it's cool to hear that a lot of anime are getting better. You know, this was a great year for romance in general. It was a great year because A Silent Voice was excellent.
Yeah, well, that was a couple years ago.
Oh, sorry.
For our
viewership, right. I got to count
there, things. There is another romance that's number one and has been number one for the past couple of weeks that lives in that same boat.
I know which one you're talking about. I got to go to anime list and find out now. Yes, I've seen people. It was also nominated, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure. Maybe no. Maybe
I think it just came out.
Winter 24 for anime. Come on, where are you? Not you. That looks like it. This is the Japanese title, so I'm trying to get the English title. A Sign of Affection. Was that it?
No, that is also good. A Sign of Affection is number 9 on the list, I think. The one that's number 1 is called The Dangers in My Heart.
Oh, okay. I've also heard of that one. Yeah, so it's cool to see tasteful romance anime that are doing well. And I'm really glad about the ones that are changing female gender stereotypes, which is why I love Tomo-chan so much, and why I also like My Dress Up Darling, is we're not making helplessly horny, thirsty female characters who instantly fall in love with the male character just because he exists. It's nice to see some story-driven into
Right. If I want romance, I don't want it to be silly. I want it, I mean, outside of like rom-com silliness, like comedy silliness, but I want the characters themselves to be genuine people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, what am I watching?
And let's be honest, if I wanted hentai, I'd watch hentai.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There are ways to get needs met, and Crunchyroll is not where I go to get my needs met.
All right. So another thing we want to talk about this week is video games. Mm-hmm. Make sure I brought up the right category. Nice. It's hard to read my labels. I need to change my stream deck.
Nice.
So this week in video games, tell me more about
Genshin Impact.
Yes. Once again. Oh my God. Sorry, I just read Twitch and I probably shouldn't have it on the podcast because, man, that made me laugh.
The new banners were announced and are coming out, and I'm very excited for it. First of all, you get a new character. She looks okay. But everybody's kind of like ignoring her and saving up because right after that, phase 2 of 4.5 is Nuvolette and Kazuha.
Yeah.
Oh God, dude, they're so fun.
Nuvolette alone for me.
I want him to touch me.
Okay, I was not going
to
do that.
No, Nuvolette is great. He solos everything. You just hit E and then hold the right click and then everything's dead.
He looks, I mean, and Kazuha looks very...
Kazuha's really fun too.
Really overpowered as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice to see this. I was looking at the pity counter for this particular last banner, and Jesus Christ, 2.5.
I don't think pity carries over.
What do you mean? Like, in terms of...
Oh, well, you're talking about overall people actually pulling.
Yeah.
No one's pulling right now.
The current popularity for the existing two banners is... The overall rating is 2.5 for the main banner and 2.9 for the second. And that's not good considering the Shenyun banner with mostly D rank characters, although the meta's now switched. So most of them have gone up to B and A. But when they started, they were D rank and they were getting, 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer too, because like Zhao is the current banner and look, he's hot as hell and I love him and he's a great character.
Yeah.
But he's also really bad and all the other characters are,
Yeah,
Yaimika. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Bad banner. So it's kind of cool to see them pulling out an OP banner where you know people are going to be rolling 10,000 fucking primos on this shit.
Like, I'm prepared to spend a couple hundred dollars. I will be spending real money on this. I don't care. I will wail for this. They're also introducing a new third banner, which is really interesting. I was looking at, like, so it's the standard banner 5 stars, which are still good. Not quite as powerful as the exclusives, but are still good 5 stars overall. The thing is, you choose a path. So you say, I want this character.
Yeah, like the weapons used to be.
Like the weapons used to be.
Yeah.
And it basically just replaces the guarantee, or like it guarantees you a character instead of like potentially getting a weapon instead of the character.
Right.
With the still 50-50 thing in there. So you might not get the character that you wanted to.
But at least
you'll get a character instead of a weapon. And people were talking about how they think it's actually the intertwined fate that you're using instead of the like twisted fate or whatever.
Twisted Fate. Twisted Fate. League of Legends. Throwback.
The blue one, not the special purple
it's
blue one. I don't
know. No, it's Acquainted Fate and Intertwined Fate, I think. I think Acquainted Fate is the nicer one. I don't remember.
I don't. Whatever. Just click buy and then that's it. People are saying that it's actually like the expensive one and not the cheaper one. But the thing is, as I kept reading into it, it almost looked like it was something different altogether. I don't know. I'm confused. It needs to come out before I can fully understand how it works. But the interesting thing is, if you wanted to see six a character, or you just weren't, there's a character that you're missing. Like, yeah. I really need Raiden.
Right.
And she's going to be on the list at some
point. Or Jean for me, for example. Yeah,
Jean, pulled Jean, so it'd be nice to see six her now. So I'm kind of into it, especially on like down weeks. Like if I wasn't going to spend any primos on this banner or Chiori's banner, then like the third banner would be kind of nice because I could just spend money over there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So before we get on to a topic it's going to take a couple minutes and I want to give us time. So I moved it from pop culture to the things we think are fucking dumb section.
Yeah.
But before we get there, oldies with moldies, you've got speaking of romance, rom-coms, I think, kind of an old school rom-com. What you got?
I'm going to be talking about Nagasarete, which
he's in full title is Nagasarete Airanto, which is
Island. Yeah. So it's an older show. It came out in 2007. But I recently watched it. So this is kind of it's oldies with moldies. That's old, but it's newer for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, for both of us, honestly.
Yeah. It was really fun. Basically there's this island the main character is on a cruise ship, I believe, and he gets knocked off and then he washes up on this island, but the island has like some magical barrier around it. So he can't leave. And the only people on the island are women. So it's just this one guy and like hundreds of women, and they all
want him. Ages too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's even the old ladies are like, yeah. You know, I'm as dry as the Sahara, but now that there's a man here, boy, giving new meaning to gushing grannies.
Yeah. But yeah, he lives on this island with all these girls, and the main girl, Suzu, and like her grandma are the ones that find him. So they kind of like take care of him. And that's really the main love interest. And I honestly, I'm happy with them.
Yeah.
Outside of, my favorite girl, Rin.
Yes.
Who's the big, strong construction girl, but she can't actually build anything correctly.
She's Tomo-chan.
She is Tomo-chan.
She's literally Tomo.
Yeah. Except instead of fighting, she does construction.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just a bunch of shenanigans of all these girls who are trying to, in some cases, force him into a relationship. In some cases, they're trying to just impress him into a relationship. And it's them all fighting, inner fighting. While also fighting the actual, like, gods of the island, which are, like, a chicken and a cat and
a panda. And
a panda. And I don't remember what the fourth one was.
Oh, the four-tailed tiger thing, I think. Or Kitsune, wasn't it?
That was the cat, I think.
Oh, was that the cat? That's right. He had multiple tails. Yeah, it was bear, chicken, dog? I can't remember. There's another one.
I don't remember. Yeah, there's four of them. Anyway, it's a very goofy, over-the-top, really silly, fun anime. The main character is trying to get off the island because his sister also fell off the boat, but she didn't end up on the island, and so he's trying to go save his sister. And also is kind of falling in love, and then Oh, there was a Chinese girl though that made it to the island too. That
yeah,
had the
she was the Kappa, wasn't she? No, wait, you're thinking, yeah, that's her.
It was her and the Kappa.
Yeah.
That came together. Anyway, it's really funny, over the top. It's very silly. It's also very childish, but like also
very
adult at the same time. Like they tried to make it for kids, but then we're also like, boobies are funny.
So the funny thing about Nagasetate, so okay, this is where my anime list is amazing. This streamed at Thursdays at 1:20. That is the adult block.
Yeah.
In Japan. Like that is the adult viewing block. But the funny thing is the studio that produced this, right? So the studio Feel did children's shows and it shows in their animation style and the way they did everything. And by the way, the producer was Square Enix. I just saw that. I was like, oh, fascinating. But the show was kind of, it's so weird because it meets Japan's weird conundrum of making childish adult content or adult child content. It's so weird.
Yeah.
We're like, currently we're watching Unamichi Onisa, right? Which we will some point talk about because God, it is rapidly becoming one of my favorite anime of all time. But that is one of those things where that is a, you could easily say it's a children's show with a massive adult bend, or say it's an adult show with a bunch of childlike moments. Either way, it sells well. Nagasodete is that because it's this horny, harem-y, goofy, adulty, lots of boobies, but also safe enough to watch with question mark. Like,
I would
say
so.
Bad. It's like
the only like standout was when Ren was taking a bath at one point, but just see
it's
a little
rated PG-13. It's not even rated that heavily. So kind of cool. Yeah.
It's really fun.
Nagasodete averages a 7.2 on my anime list. For me, what did I hold on? Tell me what your rating is, and then I'll go.
I gave it
a
7.
7? Okay. Yeah. I gave it, if I look at my list, I gave it an 8. Okay. I will say it dragged a little for me towards the end, but
that was the thing is it's
4 to 6 episodes shorter and it would have been killer.
Yeah. It's 26 episode and every episode is the same gimmick.
Yeah.
So it kind of got tiring after a little bit, but I will say the ending is really funny where he finally gets off the island and then you find out that his sister landed on that same island, like a similar island, but it's all guys and she's the only girl there. And then they see each other and they go, oh, I guess we're happy. And then they just go back.
just that moment of, oh, but it was so good back there.
Yeah. He's like, oh, but all the women.
Well, I'm glad we're both okay. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's
fun.
Our review for this week. And now for everyone's favorite segment that we eventually will have our own soundbite for, the things we think are fucking dumb. So this is funny because we just
I have a lot of choice words to say about this one.
We had so much praise for this last week.
I was so excited.
And then we tried it the day after the podcast came out.
Yeah.
And then we've completely 180'd because that's the way life is sometimes. Tell me.
So WickDonald's, I was so excited because I was like, oh, they're creating a show and a manga and like you get this special sauce and it's all fun branding. And like, I will say the sauce was okay. I don't think it went good with the
fries
chicken
and chicken nuggets.
It was a good sauce that I would have rather had on an Asian dish, not on McDonald's.
Yeah, like noodles or something like that.
So it was okay. I'm not going to get it again. The branding was fun, like the packaging and everything.
Oh,
and we were really excited.
We kept the cups.
Yeah. It's fun to see Japanese on an American product and stuff. And we were really excited. We scanned the QR code because you have to buy a meal in order to get to unlock the episode. Here's the thing. The episode is not an episode. It is a 30-second ad where the entire fucking episode, it starts out with an ad saying, hey, you should go eat our fucking sauce. And then the main character goes like, oh shit, I should go eat this fucking sauce. And then the other main character goes, wait a second, did you say there's a sauce? And then they go, yeah, let's fucking race to the store. And then they go there and then the fucking checkout people are like, oh my God, did you know there's a new sauce? And they go, holy shit, there's a new sauce. I need to order the new sauce. And then it ends with the fucking voiceover guy going, hey, by the way, did you know there's a new fucking sauce? Head into the fucking store, you dumbass. And then after all of that, I paid real money. I paid like $8.50 to watch a fucking ad, and they had the gall to make it a normal ass fucking ad that I had to see for free. So not only did I pay for the ad, I also had to watch the ad, and fuck them. I've never seen my waveform so big before.
What a great section. Like, holy shit, this is a highlight reel for the for the series. No, truth told though, yeah, I was kind of annoyed. I was like, wow, I expected more of this. And then you looked up two ads from Japanese McDonald's.
Yeah, I showed like actual ads from Japan because they do a lot of like anime stuff there because it's kind of the area. And there's more plot and story and fun, happy times in those just normal, regular old ads than the entire quote unquote episode of this fucking anime.
Hold on. You know what it reminds me of? Where's it reminds me of the Japanese McDonald's SpongeBob commercial. You remember that?
Yeah.
SpongeBob. Even that ad
had more plot and plot substance than the entire quote-unquote episode of this four-piece anime.
Yeah. Dude,
fucking dumb. And that's the thing, too. I was so sad because I was ready to spend...
Yeah.
I was ready to spend money, go to McDonald's every week so that I can unlock the dumb episodes.
We were planning to. Yeah.
But no, if they're just going to advertise to me the thing that I'm fucking eating already, I'm not going to pay for that. Not to mention, people have already uploaded all the episodes onto YouTube anyway, so I'm just going to watch it for free. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so we will be right back after this brief break. All right, we are back for our favorite section, which we call Serious Shit. As always, opinions are our own and trigger warnings are served because sometimes our opinions get a little spicy. And when I say spicy, we're not talking about anime or memes at this point. We're talking about some real life shit. And so, yeah, you know, be aware. The topics this week aren't actually that. For the second week in a row, most of our topics we're looking to talk about this week are kind of positive, upward looking things, which the cool thing about. When we originally planned to do the Serious Shit section, we were like, well, we want to talk about real life stuff going on because there aren't a lot of people doing this. Like Chris Broad on Abroad in Japan does this. Trash Taste does it just to whinge and bitch and moan. And look, I love them. They make great content, but sometimes I can't stand listening to them talk about topics. It's just like, okay, enough of that. You've presented three negative views for the last 30 minutes. Stop, please.
Yeah.
But we wanted to talk about things affecting Japan and people interested in Japan in the real sense. And sometimes we get lucky and all the news is positive. And this week is, for the second time, the way that goes. Yeah. First thing, you have an article here. Tell me about it.
So this one is about a young girl in Japan who is blazing a new path, essentially, where she's playing baseball. Not softball, like all the girls do. She wants to actually play full-on baseball, and she's actually competing with it. And this is something that kind of like hit home to me because I grew up in a family that was very sports oriented, even though I was not very sports oriented myself. But like my mom was a basketball player, and she actually was like state level basketball when she was in high school and college. And so I kind of had this thing of like women can play sports too, sort of, you know. And then when I was growing up and I was forced to play sports, I actually had I played soccer originally, and I was on a team that was all girls and then me. And so, and we were playing, it was all co-ed, and we did okay. I mean, I was a little kid, so it's like, I'm sure I did okay. I don't know everything. Yeah. And then as I started growing up, I actually played football with a girl, which was like very unheard of, especially in a small conservative town. Like a lot of people were concerned. Why is this cute little girl playing football with all the big fat fucking dumbasses on the field? I'm still spicy from McDonald's.
Those nuggies were extra spicy. Yeah.
But as a more liberally minded person, I'm really trying to pull out the big words today, apparently, that I can't speak even though they're basic English. I'm happy. Like, I don't care what your gender is. If you're doing what you love,
yeah, cool.
Do it. Especially, I mean, and to be honest, I kind of like it when you break stuff up because I like watching grown men cry. And so the fact So the fact that this girl is like, I'm going to play baseball. And they're like, no, you should play softball like all the other girls. She's like, no, I'm playing baseball. This is like the sport that Japan loves. I am playing baseball. You will not tell me what else to do. I'm just doing this. And she's doing well from what I read.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article and it's like,
Wow. Yeah, she's on a team with all guys. They even have pictures of her like doing full on just workouts. Like she's she's doing deadlifts and stuff. Like she's holding her own.
She got to go to an actual academy coaching session with Ichido Suzuki.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's cool. And you know, this reminds me again, we keep coming back to the heroine of this episode, Tomo-chan.
Yeah.
I love the fact, and we talked about this during the Valentine's, the episode before Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. how women in Japan are breaking the mold, not by the way most American women are doing the mold, breaking the mold, which is kind of bringing attention to it and talking about it and having constructive conversation.
Yeah.
In Japan, that just doesn't fly. If you're just going to stand up and kind of talk about things, you're going to get talked into the ground. You're going to get talked back to where you were, right? We talked about how women trying to buck Valentine's Day trends is difficult for them because men will just tell them to fuck off and go back to their kitchens, right? And unfortunately, there's not much they can do about it. This is cool, though, because she's doing something that's so action-based that mm-hmm. there's no way Japan or anyone around her can do anything negative about it.
Yeah.
Like, they mentioned the Japan High School Baseball Federation. They have these safety concerns about female players being on the field with male players.
Yeah.
But they've had to admit that her playing koshiki, hardball, is okay.
Yeah.
Because she's proven.
Yeah.
Before they even met her, she had already proven she could play with the boys.
Right.
Anyway, and I think what's cool about this, by the way, is, I've heard people preach about male superiority to fucking females in everything from sports to mechanical tasks to welding. You pick your favorite thing. There's a reason men are better at it. We've all heard it, right? I've heard it. Oh my God. I'm not going to rant on this or I'll be here all day. I've heard it in my work, working in the entertainment technical world. Right.
Right.
But what's really cool is Japanese women have not been waiting for any sort of permission and are just doing it.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Well, they're doing it. So
yeah. Sorry.
That's real unfortunate for you, I guess. I mean, I guess you can stand up and shout about it if it makes you feel better, but they're already doing it. You weren't able to prevent it.
Yeah.
And I think Japan being such a collectivist society, there's only two choices here. Either Japan has to just agree that since no one's throwing a fit over this, I guess we'll just allow it, which is what's happened because nobody's standing up and saying, "Oh, you stupid bitch." No one's doing that.
Yeah.
So either they go with it or they generate or they go back to their rules like no women allowed, but they're going to look really stupid because she's fucking achieving on the field.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, I wonder how much. I leaned back so far from the mic. I definitely triggered both of our mics there. I wonder how much of our statistics about women being inferior to men in athletics is exclusively due to the fact we don't let them play together.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Like, I would love to see a female soccer team, because soccer is my sport. I love soccer. I am a Lady Reds Liverpool Women's Football Club fan. Boy, did we have a rough season last year in the Super League. Oh God, it was so bad. But the thing is, I would love to see a mixed men's and women's team play against a mixed men's and women's team, because I'm 90% confident at this stage that the vast majority of hate for women in sports is because we don't have any statistical evidence that they could perform because we don't let them. If we're not letting them play, where is the data coming from? Mm. Oh, well, women's teams tend to be like, they tend to play lighter because they don't need to play any harder. I love watching women's soccer because they are extraordinarily aggressive.
Yeah.
And like, you watch male soccer and you see some pretty brutal tackles and some rough housing and men getting in each other's face and getting hot, sweaty, and erect. You know, you see the testosterone flowing. I've watched some women's games that are terrifyingly intense.
Yeah.
Where you can see they are also in each other's faces and the estrogen is flowing, you know.
Yeah. I don't watch soccer, but the couple matches that I have watched that I was like, I couldn't keep my eyes off of it were the women's matches. They're just It's like, it's almost like they are fighting because they do have something to lose, even though they don't.
Women's World Cup. Yeah. I'm about to say the spiciest take I've ever said.
Okay.
Women's World Cup is superior in every way to the World Cup.
Mm. I believe it.
Done.
Yeah.
I watched the Women's World Cup, U.S. versus France, and almost lost my fucking mind because I have never seen a match that blah, yeah. Just, I was stressed, dude. That was just nuts.
Yeah.
And you know, one of our Twitch viewers had mentioned a great point of just women have to play harder to prove that they're capable.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, they have to play harder amongst themselves to prove they're capable to even be worthy of being amongst the men.
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking at this girl who's, you know, massively achieving in baseball. Mm-hmm. And also I'm going to give her due diligence and say her name because I'm
Nakayama.
Thank you. Shiki Nakayama. She deserves the respect of saying her name and just her.
Yeah.
This is super cool. I'm just so stoked. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see that again, gender stereotypes in Japan are slowly beginning to fall apart.
Yeah.
Because Japan's success as a nation hinges, in my opinion, on its female population. Because women are not going to let men turn them into breeding machines. Mm-hmm. And that's why the depopulation issue is a thing to begin with. It's just women don't want to be your fuck machines.
Yeah.
They're not your cum dumpsters. Yeah. I'm sorry. That whole hentai attitude is not a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool, though, that women are then embracing a different alternative future where they can lead as well as the men because good. Now they have something to do with the energy that they've gained by saying, no, I don't want to be that for you.
Yeah.
I want to stand on my own 2 feet and do my own thing. And like you said, if this is how I want to have fun, fuck it. This is how I want to have fun.
She has a great quote at the end of this article too. That says, I don't like how quote unquote gender has become a buzzword. I don't think about being the only girl on a team full of boys every day. I just want to see a world where we can look beyond gender and just exist as people, which I totally agree with because if I want to watch somebody compete or do some sort of art or, show me some sort of scientific breakthrough, it's kind of cool if you're like, oh, this female creator did this thing. You're like, okay, cool. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I want to know what they created or what they achieved or what, you know.
Well, and this may sound weird. Now, this is probably my autism speaking for a second, but I've never really looked at any achievement and searched for a male.
Yeah.
It's never occurred to me. Like, I've never, like, we were talking about a couple different scientific achievements, like the 800 terabyte optical disc.
Yeah.
Or what was the other one we were talking fusion, fusion, nuclear fusion power becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I can't for the life of me tell you who's heading up the project in either gender.
No.
Because I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in the scientific achievement. Mm-hmm. This is the same. If this gal is on a team and I'm rooting for that team, whatever it is, whether it be Liverpool women's ladies reds, or we start having mixed co-ed teams and I'm just rooting for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Cool. At no point am I looking at the team and going, God damn it. If the stupid women would leave, this would be a better team because you don't look at a men's team and do that. And actually, unfortunately, there are definitely incels who do that because we have people who go after teams for having black people still.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What year are we in? Jesus fucking Christ. Get off the racist train. You fucking twats. Jesus. We're new millennium that we're still making slurs to black players. What the hell? Anyway, but this is awesome. I really hope, I hope she becomes as much a face for baseball in Japan as Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was in the news this week because he got married. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I hope she gets in the news, and she has obviously been like bigger news.
Right.
Because of her achievements. Because then this whole, oh, we got to focus on male characters thing. Nah, fuck that. We can find something better to talk about. Now, speaking of shattering stereotypes, the next article we have to talk about this week is another really great move forward. And that is Japan's retailers and restaurants are easing dress codes amid a labor shortage. Now, right off the bat, we have a bit of an asterisk, right? We have a bit of a footnote. Japan is kind of loosening up on dress code restrictions as well as sort of just overall personal appearance because they have a labor shortage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure in the absence of that shortage, whether or not Japan would be as liberal or as open-minded as they're currently being. Like, if they had the labor, would they just say, no, we're not going to do this, and we're going to stick to our guns?
Mm-hmm.
But the main sort of appearance things cited in the article are hair color, which is one of them, piercings, most of which are kind of like, I call them professional piercings, mostly ears and maybe nose.
Yeah.
Not a lot of really exotic ones like tongue piercings or massive gauges, that sort of thing. Still pretty conservative if you go by most appearance standards.
Yeah.
But Japan's just saying, Yeah, that's okay. And in fact, several companies, this one called Apita, which is a clothing manufacturer, they basically said that having the rules restricting their employees from expressing themselves through hair color and piercings mm-hmm. wasn't doing anything for their business. Like, their business was not being actively affected
yeah.
by the presence of conservative hairstyles and piercings. Mm-hmm. And now that they've actually removed those restrictions, their business has still not been affected. In other words, yeah. business before the change and business after the change mm-hmm. are the same.
Yeah.
And they've
got... almost goes back to the point that we just made on the previous article where, like, if I was going to go into 7-Eleven, mm-hmm. I'm going to 7-Eleven because I want to get something at 7-Eleven. Yeah. I didn't go in there because I wanted to see how attractive and professional the front desk clerk looks.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm already picking out my food, I don't care. Okay, sure. Yeah. You are who you are. I'm just going to pay.
Well, and it's also, the thing is, you know, like you said, no one's going in for the employees. They're going in for the product, I assume.
Yeah.
And what's cool is, if you look at the feedback that these companies are getting about their employees, it's mostly positive.
Yeah.
And it's weird because this article cites that 40 and 50 year olds are actually the predominant. Mm-hmm. How do I phrase this? They're the ones who seem to be the most
supportive
and taking advantage of this.
Yeah.
Like, you would expect millennial Japanese to be absolutely just hopping all over the bandwagon, and Gen Zers and soon to be Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
But no, it's Gen X. Japanese Gen X is mm-hmm. on board with this. And that's really interesting to me. That's different than the States. In the States, I don't see a whole lot of, outside of the LGBTQ community, which has been much more open about their beliefs and their identities. Mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of 40, 50, and 60-year-olds with more exotic appearances, like, or very expressive yeah. appearances.
Yeah.
So this is, for once, I have to admit, Japan's a little ahead of the US. Or if not ahead, but like... maybe their people are less closeted.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know, but it's kind of neat because I didn't, that was not the demographic I expected to see in the report. Mm-hmm. I expected to see, again, 20 and 30 year olds.
Yeah.
And what's cool is the feedback that these companies are getting is mostly from 50 plus, where these, you would assume they're conservative elders. Japan's, you know, extremely aged population mm-hmm. is predominantly, almost a third of Japan's population is over 60.
Yeah.
They don't care. They have nothing negative to say about it.
Right.
If anything, I think they may be, and this comes down to that, we've talked about honmai and tatemai before, right?
Yeah.
This may be coming down to that a little bit, where it's maybe a public opinion from elders is they don't care, but their private opinion is much stronger. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're at home ranting about those damn youngins. But the interesting thing is there's no pushback. Yeah. So these companies are removing these restrictive policies mm-hmm. and nobody's throwing a fit.
Yeah.
And again, this is another thing I love about Japan that I hate about the U.S. When I remember when companies first started loosening up on tattoos, mm-hmm. Piercings, and the conservative community in the U.S. just went apeshit.
Yeah.
Because remember what, like, you could probably list the businesses that catered to the alternative lifestyle mm-hmm. of the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. Spencer's, Hot Topic. Maybe like Five Below, maybe.
Maybe
they had some stuff like who else? That's
Spirit Halloween.
yeah. But like, you could generally count on one hand the number of businesses who are like, "Oh, yeah. we're going to go with this alternative lifestyle because this is mm-hmm. where this is the expression yeah,
it was
people want to make."
It was stores that sold alternative clothing to the alternative people.
Yeah, it wasn't so, like, considered.
It made sense.
Yeah, it wasn't. You didn't
go
acceptable.
Into. You weren't going into JCPenney and seeing like a goth girl there.
Yeah, exactly, and. Even now, that's still not quite mainstream, but it's accepted. Like, if Hot Topic tomorrow releases a new line of products for ear gauges or hair colors mm-hmm. or extensions, no one's losing their shit anymore. And again, guess what? I'm glad society is finally catching up, and I'm glad that, you know, these Gen Xers and boomers in the US and Japan are catching up.
Yeah.
It doesn't change your interaction with this person that they have different colored hair or piercings.
Yeah. No.
Like, you can't see me. I know you just heard me breathing like I had a bad wink, but like, it doesn't fucking matter in the grand scheme of things, whether you have tattoos, and that's mm-hmm. going to be the big one for Japan. That's the moment, you know, Japan has socially accepted people was when you can have tattoos. Finally, that big moment. Ooh, that's a hurdle. That is the big cultural. Mm-hmm. And
I know, I've been, what's his name? Tanaka, I think, who does like the street interviews in Japan.
Yes.
I watched a bunch of the ones of him interviewing people with tattoos, and the general consensus is that if you're a foreigner with tattoos, they don't care. It's still if you're Japanese born
because of the ties to Yakuza. Yeah,
with exactly. tattoos. But even then, a lot of people are still kind of like realizing there's a difference between like the gang style tattoo and a art piece. Yeah. So like they are headed in that direction. Korea is doing a lot of that as well.
And this is something I want to talk about another day because this is another long-winded topic. The Yakuza in Japan are viewed very neutrally. It's not like the Chinese triad or the Korean mafia or in the United States, the Italian, you know, classic Italian mafia or Hispanic gangs. It's the Yakuza perform a lot of, especially they're attached a lot to festivals because they do host a lot of food stalls and game stalls and other stuff. They interact a lot with their communities. And a lot of times when things go wrong, like the March 11th earthquake back in 2011, the Yakuza actually were pretty quick to jump into action with community aid. And regardless of your thoughts of the criminality of it. And again, this will be a conversation for another episode at some time. But even if you had full body Yakuza tats, I honestly don't think most of these businesses fear these people. Not in the way. I think maybe if you're older or if you've had negative interactions with them, maybe you're nervous. They're just people, dude.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I probably interact with, just in my job alone, if I'm out in the more public part of my job, I guarantee you I interact with at least someone who identifies with a gang or some sort of controversial group at least once per day. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. They're not going around flaunting it. So Japan's grip on tattoos is loosening because they're realizing that these are just people and that if they want to commit crimes, the tattoos are irrelevant. They're going to commit crimes.
Yeah.
And the tattoo does not necessarily imply criminality. And that was the battle the U.S. had when we were fighting to allow tattoos in the workplace. And my employer has just now figured out that, you want to paint your fingernails black? That's okay. Oh my God. What an earth shattering revelation that me painting my fingernails black makes me a bad employee. It just don't, you do not show up to work with black fingernails because you will fucking suck at your job.
That's true. Yeah.
Even though the funny thing is suppressing people's expression is probably more likely to make them suck at their jobs.
Yeah.
Weird how that works. And honestly, I love again that Japan is catching up and it's not catching up by conversation or politics. It's just, people are just going, yeah, fuck it. Fuck it with the rules.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I'm beginning to get this, and maybe this is just because we've been talking about a lot of these topics over the past week. I'm beginning to get a pretty exciting look at the next 10 years. And I think I mentioned, maybe I didn't, I don't know if this was one of those we were in the car conversations or on the podcast. I'd have to go back and listen to our episodes, but I think Japan's coming up on a really rough period. I don't know when or how, but I definitely think we're in for a pretty rough ride.
So yeah.
I think the economy is in shambles. I think the depopulation is becoming truly concerning.
Yeah.
And I think Japan is in for an insurmountably bad period of time. Hopefully no more than a few years, but it's going to hit bottom, I think. But what's encouraging is, this is a really petty sort of way to look at this, but it is a real psychological way to do it. And is, when you're at the bottom, there's nowhere to go but up. And seeing women and female empowerment, stronger LGBTQ communities, less restriction on creative expression, a better family shell that doesn't rely on gender or social norms and stereotypes. Seeing all this begin to take place means Japan is beginning to figure out that the reasons it is where it is because it's refused to move on.
Yeah.
That Galapagos syndrome that we love to talk about week after week of Japan isolating itself and intentionally putting itself in a position where it doesn't change, that's improving on almost a weekly basis. We're starting to see weekly articles about ways Japan is improving. And it's worth remembering that negativity gets clicks in the news space, in the social media space. Negativity and hate always garner clicks. So for positive interactions like this to be gaining clicks, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of hoping Japan's sort of collectivist, what's the word? Their collectivist optimism, collectivistic? Anyway, I'm hoping that they're collective. There we go. Their collective optimism.
I feel like we're using a lot of extra big words today because we went to the library and we just got inspired or something.
Yeah. I found that one book on Japanese dictionary and I'm just like, dude, yeah. Biggest English words I can muster. But I feel like their collective optimism is going to be a huge assist to them as they evolve over the next 10 years. And I'm hoping Japan reaches parity with its peers in the rest of the first world. Yep. That's the hope. Well, we're kind of at the end of what has been a perfect 1 hour podcast thus far, but I think that's going to have to be it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Shinigami Love Apples podcast. If you liked what you heard, please do check us out on all of our social media and on Twitch at Shinigami_Love_Apples. You can also send us fan mail or hate mail, whatever helps you sleep at night, at shinigamiloveapples.podcast@gmail.com. I'm Shinigami Pingpin, and I was joined by Shinigami Yuyu, and we will see you next week.